Quentin Ruckus, and I'm here with Vince. Can you tell us where we are?
Sure. My name is Vince Jesus, and we are in the Microsoft Model Shop. I manage this model shop, and our primary work here is really to support all the hardware groups across Microsoft. We support the groups from front-end development, really, which is concepts or ideas, all the way to introduction of the product. Okay. And in fact, I have a great example of a product which has just been in the press, which is the Arc Touch.
Okay.
And I can walk you through the support that we've given the design team and the development team.
Yeah.
One of the ideas that was being talked about was what's next for the Arc Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
As they started thinking about that, the design team started immersing themselves in the mobility space and what is it that people like and dislike about this product, as well as about mouse in general.
Okay.
With that said, the idea came up to make something flat.
Okay.
How can we make it flat? That was a challenge not only for design, but for engineering as well. And so what we started doing with them very early on was prototyping the concept of how can you make something arc and still keep its form instead of bending it and having a crease in it. As we proved the concept of arc, we started messing that around with different mechanical ideas. We had engineering come in with us as well. Here you can see segments, and that was one of the primary focus, was to ensure that we had consistent arc.
Yeah.
And it was a smooth arc instead of a creased arc. So as we started maturing the design in the engineering, we started playing now with how can we produce this? How can we produce thousands and thousands of these? And that was where we started using our 3D printer, which I will show you in a little while. But the 3D printer enabled us to quickly model up and prototype the engineer's idea. So here you can see a clear plastic piece, but it had segments in there, and on the end it's a magnet, which is a really cool design that the engineers came up with. And so we were able to prototype that in a couple of days instead of a week or a couple of weeks. As the project actually moved forward, we started, the designer started looking at forms.
Okay.
And so now you can see here, we quickly printed out a flat version and an arc version just to look at what the form factor was in both settings.
Okay.
As we started doing that, we also started building, machining actually very accurate segments. And this is where we were getting closer to production. Here you can see one of the prototypes that we've built. This was done on the 3D printer.
Yeah.
And this we machined on a CNC machine, as well as these forms here. So you can see how close to production this is.
Yeah.
And right here you can just see all the different versions of phases that they've gone into production. These are actually production parts as they started improving their design. And here you can just see, those are all just plastic parts to make the tail, which is quite amazing.
Yeah. I'm surprised how many moving parts there are actually in this product.
It's quite a lot. That was one of the challenges. We wanted to keep the cost down, but give the user experience and a delight to the customer really a high value instead of making it feel cheap.
Yeah.
So that was the reason why we went this far. And in the end, this is actually what we have right now. This is the Arc Touch with a product in here. Yeah, we also helped develop the or prototype the packaging.
Okay.
We used a very inexpensive thermoform machine to start forming the inside part of that to prove out their design. But here in the end, this is what you have. Okay. This is the final product.
So you basically started with this little proof of concept made out of acrylic and some aluminum?
Metal, yeah, it's metal. It's spring steel.
Spring steel, and then you ended up with a fully functional mouse.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yep.
So when an idea comes into the model shop, How do you guys help move that from concept into reality?
So a lot of the ideas start with the design team, the UX team. In fact, the model shop is not only just for building models within my staff here, but we actually have a room that we specifically set aside for industrial designers to start their own ideas and start creating ideas from flat paper to actually three-dimensional form.
Okay.
And I can show you that room.
That'd be
right
great.
Now. So the room that I was talking to you about, actually, this is where the designers will just make a big mess.
Okay.
But what is really exciting is how their ideas start becoming a three-dimensional product. So here you can see flat. These are sketches, which they started sketching out. And from there, we would cut out blocks for them.
Okay.
This is a urethane foam board.
Mm-hmm. It's fairly rigid.
Fairly rigid, very easy to sculpt.
Yeah.
And here you can see how a piece was cut, was bandsawed. And that's how they'll start. They'll just start doing rudimentary cuts. And then here you can see just the different forms that they would start working on. To really bring their idea forth into a three-dimensional form.
And a lot of these actually look almost like you could put it in someone's hand and they would think it may be a real mouse.
Correct. Like, now this one here, this one actually, we did make a casting of this, so that we cheated a little. That's where when the designers come in, we would make castings for them if they need to. So this was an existing one and we've actually cast it for them so that they can start from. They can say this is our baseline, and then now they'll start making just slight differences to differentiate from an older product. And here, though, you can see that there's, when you look at these, you can see how things are bulging out, and here you can see that it's not bulging out. So they would just go with just slight differences in their forms, and it's about comfort. It's about how a user would hold that mouse. And that's really why everything that is done here for the mouse really starts in this room. We call this our RP room, rapid prototyping room. What you see here are 3D printers, and the technology here is based on an inkjet printer.
Okay.
It has 96 injectors that spits out resin, which is very similar to epoxy. Their material is actually a trade secret, so we don't know. We know that it's non-toxic when it's cured. Which is a good thing. But what we do here, what this machine does, is actually revolutionary. Previously, when I talked about the Arc Touch, I was showing you how we were 3D printing the flat shape and the arc shape. We were able to do this in 4 hours, which is really nice because now the design iteration is in hours or a day and not weeks. The way we get to this point, though, is the sculpted mouse that we saw back in the ID room.
Yeah.
We would take that form and scan it. We use a technology called photogrammetry.
Okay.
And they have a precise scanning on the surface, and we have a surfacing guy that would clean all the surfaces out. That becomes the master data. We take that and we'll start printing it here. So in a week, we can go from sculpted form to a truly almost a productizable type of form.
Yeah.
We run this machine 24/7, almost 7 days a week. There's always something printing in here. That's how much work really that Microsoft is doing on the hardware side. To me, it's like we've set a standard within Microsoft for quick. Prototyping for quick modeling. So the form is pretty much complete as far as what the product will look like. The next thing that really happens is what kind of color treatment, material treatment, and the finish, the texture, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would start by actually making what we call Lego blocks. And so here you can see an Arc keyboard, and it's broken out into three pieces. These are CNC, these are machine. What it enables us to do is we can mix and match if we need to. Now, this is crazy because these are strong colors, but a lot of our neutral colors we can mix and match.
Yeah.
The nice thing about it is that when you get these things, you can put it all together, and it really looks like the product.
Yeah.
And so that's the next phase. We do a lot of color matching here because the designer would come down and will say, I'd like to have this color painted on this part.
Yeah.
And so we have a cosmetic modeler who would start mixing his tints, which I can show you the paint room. We'll start mixing the tints to match. Once the designer approves the color match, then he would apply it on the product. The next phase after this really is when we start making what we call appearance models.
Okay.
And here you can see this is actually a model. It looks like the real product. Here's a product. This is our Comfort Curve keyboard. And you can see there's differences. This was one version of this design.
Okay.
And they didn't go with this, but you can see the texture. Everything was machined. And everything that you've done, that you see here as far as the legend, we use what we call a dry transfer, and we would rub down on this. We would rub down each individual key.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I mean, you even went in and said the cut and the copy.
Yes,
behind there.
Yeah. It's really crazy, but this model, which is, we call it our appearance model, is what you would see on a product package. So here's a good example.
Okay.
The picture you see here, the image you see here is either a rendering or an appearance model that we built. It's not a working unit. And so we do that for almost all our products going forward. So this is one of the final stages that we go through as far as completing a program. This is where we actually start, when I was talking to you about painting all the different parts, the Lego models. It's about making the right color, developing that, and then applying it on the parts. Here you can see some of the samples of the special edition case tops that we have for our mice. One thing that's interesting is when we play with finishes, here you can see half of it is a gloss and half is texture. And that's one of the things that we would do so that when the designer looks at the final product, they can say, that's exactly what I want.
Okay.
So we're able to have them feel confident that their design is what they want.
Now, how easy is it to transition that color sample into an actual paint?
It's actually, you need to understand, so our cosmetic modeler, you need to understand the characteristics of how a color affects another color.
Okay.
For example, a blue and a red, you get purple.
Yeah.
If you add yellow, what happens? Or if you add black, what happens? And so the designer would come in with a small swatch, just a color swatch. It could be that large. And the model maker needs to figure out how to get that color in the end. It might take 4 hours, it might take a whole day just to come up with this color.
Wow.
It's quite intense. But when we're done, we create our samples, and now that becomes our golden sample for manufacturing. We are able to do quick designs, quick iterations, proof of concepts. It really is a great place for us to be at.
Yeah.
Because I think we do exemplify innovation.